Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you laugh at something, but no one else laughs around you? Have you been there? Would anybody stick your neck out and say, yeah, I've been there? It's embarrassing, isn't it? Completely embarrassing. We've all, I'm sure, had these moments. And one of those kinds of moments that's forever etched in my mind, I want to share with you. I was a sophomore in college. I was in a speech class. And there was this cute, blue-eyed, red-haired girl who was scheduled to give a speech for that particular day of class. And I was attracted to that blue-eyed, red-haired gal. If you haven't figured this out, her name is Kristen. And so because I was attracted to her, you can guess where I positioned myself in that classroom that day. Front row, right up by that lectern. I was sitting next to my roommate, Trent, and I was excited to hear her give her speech. And so we waited for a little bit, wondering, where is she? When all of a sudden she comes bursting through the classroom doors, and she plops her book bag onto the desk, and she gives us this greeting and opens us in a word of prayer that was exactly identical to how our speech teacher opened class every single day. And the moment she finished doing all that, she burst out laughing in uncontrollable laughter. And nobody else was laughing. And if you have ever been around Kristen when she gets into one of those uncontrollable laughter situations, you have experienced something. Because they go on for a long time. And it makes her uncomfortable, but then eventually we all just kind of join in and laugh along with her. And so this is one of those moments where she is uncontrollably laughing, to quickly realize, oh, the teacher's not laughing. And I could see that to the left of the corner of my eye. And so she pauses and says, I'm sorry, may I start all over? And so Mrs. Lohmeyer said, sure, you can start all over. She leaves the classroom, and we're waiting for her, thinking she's probably taking some deep breaths, regaining composure. And what does she do? She bursts back right in through the door. She gives us the exact same greeting and says the exact same prayer that our speech teacher does each and every day. And you guessed it. She burst out laughing again in uncontrollable laughter. And finally, our speech teacher says, is that supposed to be me? Now we are all laughing for a short second because we realize Mrs. Lohmeyer was not laughing. And so quickly, right then and right there, Kristen wishes she had one of those Southwest Airlines want to get away deals. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how she regained composure, but somehow she got through the speech, and none of us is to even know what the speech was about. But we definitely remember how the speech began. And so if you can relate to Kristen, then friends, you can relate to Sarah. And I invite you to open your Bible to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. If you've been with me in the Patriarch series, we started in Genesis 18 verses 1 through 8 last week. And we discovered that the Lord and two of his angels, they came to visit Abraham. And we pointed out last week that Abraham presented them this incredible feast for just a few people. Bunch of cakes, bunch of steaks. And before this very important guest sets out from there, he delivers a special message to Abraham. But what you're going to hear in this text is it wasn't just steered toward Abraham. He was making sure Sarah heard this message loud and clear, and you will see that Sarah overheard this message that the Lord gave Abraham, and she laughed. And the Lord was not laughing. And she quickly tried to regain her composure. And the Lord quickly asked Abraham, "Why'd Sarah laugh?" And Sarah said, "I didn't laugh." And the Lord, who knows all things, says, "No, but you did laugh." Obviously, what the Lord told Abraham here wasn't a laughing matter, friends. And you say, well, why was that? Because Sarah's laughter in this account demonstrated that she did not believe that the Lord would keep his promise. And when you don't believe that the Lord will keep his promise, that's in essence calling God a liar. And that tells you in volumes why this was not a laughing matter to God. In this moment, Sarah thought, "I know better than the eternal creator of the universe." She elevated herself over God Almighty. And let me warn you, the sovereign Lord does not like it when anyone doubts his promises or his power. And as you think about your life right now, I realize you might be in a particular situation where you would call it, this is my breaking point. I am reaching my breaking point. You would say, "Pastor, I'm praying, Lord, I've been praying this for years. Praying for whatever it is. And I have nothing to show for it. And I'm wondering, Pastor, if the Lord is even hearing my prayers, because I'm struggling with doubts. Or, Lord, this tragedy has been going on way too much, and it's far too much for me to bear anymore. Where are you, Lord? You could have prevented this." How many times have we prayed in that prayer this past year concerning our country? Or, Lord, this family crisis that's been going on for several years, will this ever end? Because I don't know how much more I can take. Do something, Lord, please. Has that been a repeated prayer of yours? Are you thinking right now, wow, this guy's describing me. These have been my prayers. This guy gets me. Well, friend, if that's you this morning, I draw your attention to the same question God asked Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, is anything too hard for the Almighty God who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence? And if not, friends, then none of us should ever doubt his promises and his power. You agree with that? So as I continue to unfold this Abraham-Sarah narrative here in Genesis 18, here's the big idea that I hope you'll walk away understanding. I hope that you see in this text that the Lord is gracious, that he is ready to forgive us and to bless us when we turn from our doubts and we trust in his mighty power. That's what I hope you grasp this morning. So first of all, I want you to understand God Almighty can do the incredible. God Almighty can do the incredible. Verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Now remember, I tell you, when the Lord asks questions, he's not looking for information, okay? He asked this question fully knowing where she was. And I think he mentions in this text her name because he knew when Sarah heard him use her name, all of a sudden, what's she going to do? Oh, I'm going to eavesdrop in here. The Lord's talking about me. The Lord wanted her to do that. He wanted her to listen in on this conversation. And you're going, well, where do you get that? How do you arrive there? I don't see that in Genesis 18, right? But in Genesis 17, we know very vividly God already told Abraham this: "I will bless Sarah and give you a son by her." Now think about this. He received that. He had waited 86 years before he became a father, and now God's telling him, you're not going to be the father of just Ishmael. I am going to carry out what I initially promised you, and you are going to have a son through your wife, Sarah. If you heard that and you experienced what you've experienced in childlessness all those years, do you really think you would hold that information back? I have a hard time imagining Abraham didn't go beelining right to his wife. You won't believe what the Lord just told me. And unpacked all that stuff from Genesis 17. The Lord knew that Sarah was struggling with doubts about his promise, about his power. And he wanted to make sure that she heard this from his mouth. And so that's why he asked, where is Sarah? And Abraham said, verse 9, she's in the tent. So hearing this, the Lord went on to say something that's absolutely incredible. It's found in verse 10. He said, I'll surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. By reference point, this particular moment, Abraham was 99 years old. Sarah was 89 years old. It says the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, meaning this lady had already gone through menopause. From her vantage point, there was absolutely no way I could have a child. None. And so verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord Abraham is old, shall I have pleasure? Ha! And what you don't get in a casual reading through this narrative is what I want to show you here. Because there's a play on words in this dialogue. You see it in verse 10, you see it in verse 12. So I draw your attention back to verse 10. Her listening, that goes along with Ishmael, whose name means God hears. And then verse 12, her laughter, that goes along with Isaac, whose name means he laughs. You see the play on words going on here? They loved Ishmael, but you can believe that every time they hugged or kissed or looked at Ishmael, it had a way of reminding them, we disobeyed God's will. Draw you back to Genesis 16, where Sarah said, time's running out. It's been 10 years since God's promise. He's not doing anything. We got to help him out. Here, take my maidservant Hagar. Have her be your wife. Go, produce the heir through him, through her. Ishmael can be the one. So what they did in Genesis 16, friends, is they trusted in their own abilities instead of trusting in the Lord, his promise, his power. And you come to Genesis 17 and Abraham pleads to the Lord, can't Ishmael be the one? Can't the one I produce be the promised one, Lord? And he said, nope. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. And so what you can tell in chapter 18, there is a emphasis in this narrative here on the fact that now Abraham and Sarah have completely come to the point where they can't even have a child, even if they tried to have a child. That's a key point of this whole text. Basically, it's showing God Almighty brought them to the end of their abilities so that he could show them that he can do the incredible. And when he does the incredible, he will then get all the glory. They would get none. That was his whole intention. And so you see, friends, when you think about yourself, when you think about me, far too often, you and I, we put our trust in our own abilities, don't we? Way too often. We think we can handle it. We've got it. We've got control. Only when things get out of control or when we feel helpless, that's when we find ourselves running to the Lord to put our trust in him and hope in him. But it's only in those dire strait moments where we find ourselves doing that. And We got to change our ways, because when we trust in ourselves, it leads us to glorying in ourselves. And God alone wants to receive all the glory. He wants us to glory in Him alone. And so what we're seeing in Abraham and Sarah is the Lord graciously brings us to the realization that He alone is our only hope.
Amen.
He can do the incredible. He wants us to trust in Him. He alone gets all the glory. That's what He brought them to. That's what He wants to bring us to, that realization. And you may recall when Abraham heard the Lord's incredible promise in chapter 17, it says in verse 17, he fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child?" Ha! This is amazing! But when Sarah heard the Lord's incredible promise in chapter 18, verse 12, she laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out, and my Lord Abraham is old, I shall have pleasure?" What's the difference there between the two chapters? Obviously, I tried to show you a voice reflection and facial expression, a difference. But what is the difference? I think in chapter 17, when Abraham laughed, he was not doubting God's power. He was not doubting God's promise. He was just amazed. Amazed by what God said. And the reason I can say that is because he was convinced Ishmael was going to be the chosen one. And for God to tell him differently, that was amazing. Because he loved Sarah. He's blown away by this. But here's Sarah, chapter 18, she was doubting God's promise, doubting his power. From her vantage point, when she's hearing this, she's like, "Yeah, right. I've been barren for 89 years of my life. Huh, right. My fertile days, they're long and gone. I'm too old to even enjoy intimacy with my husband, let alone conceive a child and give birth to a son." As she's going through that moment in that tent, there's one thing she left out of the equation. Do you know who it is? El Shaddai. God Almighty. She looked at it all from just a human vantage point, and she needed to be reminded in this moment, God can do the incredible. Secondly, God Almighty can do the impossible. The Lord didn't like that Sarah doubted his promise, his power. He confronted this sin. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, this is interesting, the spiritual leader of the home, "Why'd Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?'" Keep in mind, we've already read verses 9 and 10. Sarah was in the tent behind the door. Verse 12 tells us that she laughed to herself. So this wasn't an outward expression, something that they heard. The whole time, the all-knowing God knew where she was and what she did. And he asked Abraham, "Why'd Sarah laugh?" That question was a way of confronting her for doubting his promise, his power. It's basically calling her out for calling him a liar. In essence, her laughter was saying, "I know what the Almighty God can do and what the Almighty God cannot do. And he is out of his mind. There is no way he can do what he just said to Abraham. None. I know." And so this led the Lord to ask another question. Verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" In other words, Sarah, is there anything that you can think of that would lead you to believe that I can't pull this off? Can you bring that up right now? As you're thinking about that, transition into thinking about you, friend. Think about you. What overwhelming problem are you facing right now? You know it. God knows it. I might not know it. But what is it? With our audience, I'm guessing some of you are overwhelmed with this situation. I have a loved one who needs salvation. And right now you're thinking, there's just no way. There's just no way he or she is going to turn from sin and self and trust the Lord. No way. Maybe right now you have your marriage on your mind. And you're thinking, there's just no way. No way he or she's going to change. It's hopeless, Lord. No way. Some people are dealing with a wayward child. And they're thinking, there's just no way. No way they're going to turn back. None. Maybe it's a health issue that's on your mind. Maybe it's a financial crisis and you're thinking, there's just no way, just absolutely no way this is going to get better. When it comes to whatever overwhelming problem you're facing, verse 14 is for you this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? See, friends, we can't look at our problems from a human vantage point like Sarah was doing. We have to remember, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
He said in verse 14 this, at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. You know what he's saying? Basically, Abraham, it's already on the calendar. And you can go to your junk drawer and you can get out that marker and you can put a big red circle on that big day a year from now. That's what he's saying. And that's what makes verse 14 a favorite verse for so many believers when they read their Bible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's one of those questions, when you ask it, you answer it. Have you ever thought about that? And what's absolutely marvelous about this verse is shows that God Almighty, who created all things, can certainly change the laws of nature in order to accomplish his sovereign will. Is that amazing? Wow! God Almighty can do the impossible. Verse 15, however, Sarah denied the Lord's initial question. Why'd Sarah laugh? Saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. She reminds us of Eve, who tried to hide from God when she sinned. And it's absolutely foolish to try to hide from God, to try to conceal sin, because he knows the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I love the way he says this in verse 15. No, but you did laugh. He wasn't going to drop it. He confronted her laughter, her doubts about his promise, his power. In essence, he was saying, come on, Sarah. Come on. You did. Just admit it. I know everything. And then he drove her back to having to answer his second question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah, is there really any situation that you could ever find yourself in that would be too difficult for me to be able to help you with? When you hear that, do you see how gracious the Lord is, friends? Do you see what he did here? He directed her away from her problems, and he steered her onto himself. He reminds her in this text, I'm the sovereign Lord of the universe, and nothing is too hard for me. And so as you pause right now and you think about your very own life, how many times have you read through the Bible and you've come to some extraordinary promise from God? Or how many times have you sat under the preaching of the Word of God and the preacher is giving some just incredible miracle by the Lord, And in those moments, as you're hearing that, reading that, you found yourself saying, ha, I'll believe that when I see that in my life. Or, Pastor, seriously, you really expect me to buy that a 90-year-old woman gave birth to a son? Okay, LOL. And when we have those moments reading or hearing scripture, and the Holy Spirit starts to work in our hearts and say, hey, why are you doubting? Why are you laughing? I didn't laugh. I didn't doubt. No, but you did. Anytime you find yourself in one of those moments, friends, God wants you just simply, quickly, humbly repent. Confess your sins to the Lord. Put off laughing and doubting about his promises, power. Let the word of God renew your heart and strengthen your faith, and so that you can trust in him, in his promise, in his power. So when you think of all that this morning, let me ask you a few questions. Is there any problem you're facing in your life right now that is too hard for God to help you with? Is your family problem so bad right now that the Lord would really say, as he sits in heaven, ew, that's too messy for me. There's nothing I could ever do in that situation. Good luck. Can you think of one single situation in your life that's beyond the sovereign control of the Lord? Do you really think that God Almighty is in heaven sitting on his throne, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, I didn't see that coming. Ah, I'm not equipped to deal with this. Oh, that's way too out of my league. That's too tough for me to handle. Do you think he's really doing that? Can you think of one sin in your life that you've committed where the Lord cannot forgive it? Can you think of one enslaving habit that you're struggling with, and it just seems like every day you're struggling with it? Can you think of that one enslaving habit? Is it so bad that the Lord can't deliver you from it? What am I asking? I'm asking verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to all these questions I just asked you, friends, it's a resounding no. God Almighty can do the incredible. Amen. God Almighty can do the impossible. Amen. And even though Genesis 18 doesn't say anything about this, we know that Sarah owned up to her laughter and her doubt before the Lord. And he graciously strengthened her faith. And the reason we know that is you fast forward to Hebrews 11:11, and it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And a year later, God graciously enabled Sarah to laugh again, and this time in joy. And he graciously exalted Sarah as an example for wives to this day to follow. Peter gave some instructions in what he wrote in the Bible concerning husbands and wives. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, holy women who hoped in God submitted to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And I'll just stop for a moment and just say, husbands, this does not give you the green light to demand that your wife now goes from here and calls you Lord. That might not turn out so well for you, okay? What's going on here with Sarah, that was, according to that culture, the appropriate way for her to express her submission to Abraham's leadership and his guidance. To refer to him as Lord. And the point I'm trying to make with drawing your attention to what's said in 1 Peter chapter 3 here is that the only place in all of the Bible where Sarah is ever said to have called Abraham Lord is in Genesis 18, verse 12. And so as you're looking at that verse, you're going to see that's the same verse she laughed at God. And here God Almighty is graciously looking past her weakness to draw people's attention to her strength. He exalted her because she humbled herself before the Lord. And that teaches us that the Lord is gracious. He's ready to forgive us and bless us when we turn from our doubts and trust in his mighty power. So whatever problem or problems you're facing right now, friends, please understand from Abraham and Sarah's example, the Lord may not give you an immediate answer. This couple waited 75 years before they got a promise for a child. And then after that promise, they waited another 25 years before God delivered on that promise. So he may not give you an immediate answer to whatever problem you're facing, friends. These two heroes of the faith, Abraham and Sarah, they received this promise. But as you read through Hebrews 11 and read about all the other heroes of the faith, you're going to notice in some of them, they didn't receive what was promised this side of heaven. And you might be led to believe, oh, well, that must mean that whatever that was, it was too hard for God or he wasn't faithful. That's not what that means. They will receive that promise in his perfect timing, not in their human standpoint. We may never know the reason for God's delay. We may never, ever understand the purpose of his plan. But what we've learned this morning is we dare not laugh and doubt about the Lord's promise and his power. We can trust in the Lord. We can give him the glory because we know that every single promise that he gives us in his word will be fulfilled according to his will. Every single one of them. And this is what makes verse 14 such a favorite verse for so many Christians. Because God says at the appointed time, listen to this, I will return to you. About this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. That's incredible. That is so awesome. It's as good as gold. Good is done. Our God is amazing. So as we wrap up, I want you to think about this portion of this narrative from the vantage point of the original audience. If you're like, well, I don't know who the original audience was. The original audience that Moses wrote Genesis 4 was the children of Israel. They were given this about the time when they were to go into the land and conquer it and take possession of this promised land. Prior to that big day, God had led them from Egypt to the promised land. And in that journey, the people, his very own, who he made a covenant with, they doubted that God could feed them on their journey. Moses, take us back to Egypt. At least there we had food. What did God Almighty do in Exodus 16? He rained down bread from heaven. And then they got tired of the bread and they wanted some substance. Moses, please give us something. We want meat. We had meat in Egypt. And what did God Almighty do? Covered the camp with quail. And then they're thirsty, and they didn't believe that God Almighty could provide them water. And what did God Almighty do? Out of a rock, gave them the greatest tasting water they've ever had. Gracious. Moses was getting tired with these people and their complaints, because they weren't getting the message that God was gracious and God was almighty and he can do the incredible and he can do the impossible. They're getting close to sending in the 12 spies into the land. Meaning, it's go time, lock and load, we're taking it. Let's send in the spies, let's get their report, let's get ready. And so he starts counting the troops. And then the leader says, Lord, we have 600,000 soldiers. There's no way we have enough food to feed all these men. Now the leader himself is doubting. And what does God Almighty say to Moses in that moment? Is the Lord's hand shortened? The same question he asked Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How would you answer that question this morning? Because God wants you to answer that in whatever situation you're facing. Today we've heard from the Word that God Almighty can do the incredible. And God Almighty can do the impossible. You and I can trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for this message. We're all going through some difficulties. We all have concerns, struggling with fear on different things. And you know them all. And we're thankful that today you brought before us who you really are from your word. And I pray that we would right now settle in our hearts the answer to the question, is anything too hard for you? And I pray that we would turn from our doubts and trust that you can do the incredible, and you can do the impossible, and you will get the glory. Help us to make that our desire. We can't do anything without you, Father. We need your help in this. Please help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.